Live from KPTZ-FM, I'm Charlie Berman with the continuing series of candidate interviews. Today we have, which position is this?
Six.
Position six. Amy Howard, the incumbent, and Bernie Arthur, the challenger. Say hello, Bernie.
Hello.
Move the mic up to your face a little
closer.
Bit.
Closer.
Okay, cool. Okay, so Amy, let's get you here.
Hello.
Say hello.
Hi.
Okay, you're here. So you guys are running for a city council term, which is 4 years. Amy has served 4 years already, running for a second term. Bernie is the challenger for that seat. Bernie, can you, let's start with you. Why are you running for city council, and why are you running against Amy?
Well, the reason I am running for city council is because I always look in the mirror and I think, who is responsible for what's going on? And it's the guy in the mirror. And so I like to see all political offices be opposed so that the winning candidate can tell who, how many people agree or disagree with them. And so we were having a chat, and I went up and I thought, okay, I'll go see how many people have signed up for city council. And it was Friday, and come to find out there were, Amy was unopposed. And I don't have anything against Amy. I don't, that's not the point. The point is that the voters need to have an opportunity to make a choice of what kind of government they want to have. And if they like it the way it is, they can vote the way it is.
Oh, okay, but let me point out that if you were there on Friday, you also noticed that the Bob Gray's seat, who's retiring, and Owen Rowe was unopposed. So why didn't you run against Owen? And I mean, I'm asking that because it's an open seat, and you might stand a better chance of a victory in terms of that.
The logic that I use, which is kind of confusing to most people, is that the new people, if they get elected, we have no real idea what direction they want to head. But if we're not satisfied with the way things have been going, then we want to let the people that are in office know how many people don't agree with them.
But you agree or don't agree with Amy? I'm lost here.
I'm not picking on Amy at all. All I'm saying is that I don't agree with a lot of things the city has been doing in the last 8 or 10 years. And I hoped that other people would run for office that think more like I do, rather than running. I mean, I don't have personal feelings about very much of people. I just look at what's going on and the homeless problems, the cost of housing for people, the permit process, all these things have gotten more complex every.
Yeah, finish the sentence, Bernie.
More complex, and I don't think it should be going that direction if we want to solve the problem of people being able to afford to live in Port Townsend.
Okay, so Amy, this is your second term. Why did you decide to reenlist?
Because when I ran 4 years ago, I knew that there was difficult work ahead of me. I did not know at that point actually how slow government moves. I don't feel like I have really accomplished all that I set out to accomplish. I feel like I have made positive changes, but I feel like there's a lot more that needs to be done. And as I'm currently very mired in that work, I want to be able to complete it.
Okay, so specifically what's bogged you down and what are you...
Well, for example, I serve on the Affordable Housing Committee, and it is a complex problem and requires complex solutions. So we've made some progress in things like putting in a multifamily housing tax credit, but there's nobody building on that tax credit yet. We need more incentives. We need just a lot more wraparound solutions that we haven't been able to put in place yet.
Okay, but this is not a Port Townsend problem. This is a United States problem, basically, for affordable housing.
Absolutely. But this is where we are, and this is where we have the work to do. So anything that we can do in this specific area to alleviate the problems in this specific area is a good thing. So I know that we're not going to be able to solve the problem nationwide, but at minimum, I hope that we can become a model of how even the county and the city can work together to solve some of those problems. The more positive changes we can make, the better off everyone is in the long run.
Okay, so what's one little change we could make that would make it all, that would release the pressure so much?
Well, like I said a moment ago, we need to be able to incentivize building. Right now, we have very low housing stock, and it is very expensive to build on the end of the peninsula. It takes a lot to get materials out here. Our cost of living is very high, so the people paying people to do the construction costs a lot. So how can we, as the city, make that as accessible as possible so that we can actually increase stock and increase infill in areas where there's already building?
So, Bernie, do you have any kind of single proposal or single idea for the housing problem?
Well, I've had several opportunities to offer suggestions to the city about how to cure it. And my feeling is that the more regulation and the more process that you put into this system, the less affordable it becomes. And I believe in incentives. Like if you want to build houses in the $150,000 range, you don't have to pay anything for a building permit. You know, you create incentives that drive the prices down rather than regulations like hooking up to the water and sewer costs a fortune now. When I built houses, it was free. That cost is added to the total cost of the construction and the sale price of the building. And if you want to have housing, for instance, you wanted to buy an old Victorian and turn it into a housing unit for single people, you have an unbelievable permit process that you have to go through, which drives the cost up, which then makes it not feasible to create low-cost housing for those people who are one or two people that just need a house, a rental. In my experience in Germany, the German government gave people, if you had so many square feet, you paid a certain tax on your house, but if you had X number of people living in that house, the tax kept going down until you didn't pay anything. So it gave people incentives to create a place for a single man to have a room to rent and pay a reasonable price.
Okay, so Amy, are permit fees prohibitive? Do permit fees, are they the problem?
I'm sure that they're prohibitive to some people in building. The city currently operates on a cost recovery model, so we're not trying to make money on those permits. We're trying to make sure that it's break even so that we don't have to raise property taxes to pay for those kinds of services that the city provides. The thing about permits is that we're making sure that your building is safe, that your building isn't environmentally detrimental. So there's a fine line between what is too much regulation and what is safe and healthy. So that's actually something that the Affordable Housing Committee is in the process of looking at right now, is where can we tweak those specific regulations to match our needs, to make sure that they're what best is suited for this specific time. So the department has been keeping a log when people come in and say that this is something that is preventing me from building a house or at an affordable rate. This is something that has completely stopped me. So we go through that log and see if it's a one-time issue, if it comes up multiple times, and if it can be changed, both according to state law and what's reasonable for our community.
Your reaction, Bernie?
Well, I think that you can study problems forever, and when the poor kid is trying to find a house, I talk to people all the time that are trying to rent a house, a family of four, and the rents in Port Townsend are $2,500 a month, and we can study that. We can study that till the cows come home. But the real answer is, how do we get that type of individual a place that they can rent and live in or buy? And it has nothing to do with anything other than somebody sitting down and in a short period of time coming to some decisions that are quick and affordable for the community. Maybe I in business I had this thing called the law of diminishing returns. You keep adding prices and eventually you fail. And that's what is going on, and we're not dealing with these problems in a quick and obvious way. We're letting people tell us that we need to have an engineer do a building for us, and then we have to have an architect, and then we have to have this, and then we have to have that, and then we have to pay this permit fee, and we got to have this much parking, and we got to have this big a lot, and we got to have, maybe that doesn't work. Maybe we should try some easy solutions quickly that will drive the prices down. I mean, there's not enough houses for sale. There's not enough. And people are having to move to Hadlock and Shimicum, and I don't know how environmentally that is when you're driving these people back and forth on the highway, but maybe it is. So,
but taxes, I mean, taxes aren't making anybody rich. I mean, the city is not flush. When they raise taxes, it doesn't make them richer. They are charging for services. So if you give people tax breaks, then who pays for the services?
Well, let's make one example. Let's say that down at the center downtown there, the chamber, we're taking tax money that we charged people coming to stay in hotels, and we're spending $900,000 once. I don't know if that's correct, but those are tax dollars. And when you look at the Soroptimist, have a corner one block away that doesn't cost the taxpayers anything. If you go up the hill, the gardeners have a nice triangle. Why didn't we just give the property to the chamber and let them take care of it? Why does the city have to do it? Because they have this ego problem that they have to control everything.
Okay, let's, Amy, respond to that. I've known you for years.
I'm
a really
not
person.
The city, so I don't have a specific response to the city having an ego problem. The tax money that is being used to pay for that is tax money that was used did come from Heads in Beds. So it's the lodging tax. So using it to make a park that both residents of Port Townsend can enjoy and visitors in Port Townsend can enjoy is not an unreasonable use of that money. We have limited things that we can spend that specific money on. It is, by statute, limited to things for tourist enjoyment, which isn't the best phrase for that, but it's the only one that's coming to mind right now. We did a lot of studies on what the best way we could use that money in that location. It's something that is recommended to us by a committee. It's a strip of concrete right now. We're going to take it out, put a park in, and put in the stub outs for public restrooms. I don't see how taking a strip of concrete and making a park is a bad thing with money that we have to spend on something like that.
Okay, so Bernie, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that's exactly how they've been thinking down at City Hall. The tax that they're collecting evidently is more than they should be collecting, so they should reduce the tax. That's number one. Number two is that making the assumption that a little committee thinks for the whole community. I mean, I've been going by there for 50 years, and that has people park there with their boat trailers, motorcycle clubs come and congregate there, people pull in there and go and get information from the chamber. Why does it have to be $500,000 worth of expense to the community if that money is available for more practical uses? But I think it's a definite ego problem for the city. They have to do these things, which drives the cost of city government, which then we have to charge more tax.
Okay, but you said something. Why does one person or one committee decide things for the rest of us? Well, you know, being on city council requires collaboration. If you get into city council, you're not an executive. You're part of a board. So maybe if you could address that shortly about how you're qualified to collaborate with other people.
Well, I've been on the Shoreline Commission, the Planning Commission, the Growth Management Commission. I have watched and been involved with a lot of these things, and the decision is up to the City Council. They are the deciding factor. Now, they can take all the input from committees, from individuals, from people who come to the city council meetings, and they have to make a decision based on what's good for the whole community. Now, if that's the best thing they could do with the money, God love them. But I don't think it is, and I don't agree with it. And I think the end result is going to be like the traffic circle up on the hill on Sims Way and the garden along the middle of the street that cost a lot of money. Now, they'll always tell you that the money came from here or there or whatever, but I brought them a thing from Squim where they put the traffic circle in down at the by the Costco, and it cost $750,000. These traffic circles, I call them crop circles because you can't see over them. They require maintenance. They require, and the businesses in the along that strip of Upper Sims Way, instead of having a left turn lane down the center, they've got this area that you have to maintain. That you can't hardly, you got to be very careful that somebody isn't in the crosswalks there because you can't see them for the bushes and stuff. So from a practical standpoint, they could have put the traffic circles in for one half of what they did. But they felt that this needs to be, this is what Port Townsend should have, is these big traffic. And I contend that many of these things that you see happen are employees of the city writing resumes for their future job.
Okay, so got a bit off track there. Amy, collaboration. What have you learned about collaborating with other people on this after 4 years in the city council?
Everyone has an opinion, which we already knew going into it. But one of the things that's very interesting about Port Townsend that I've heard and seen more going other places is that we have a highly engaged citizenry. We have people who are more than willing to tell us what we've got right and what we've gotten wrong. And one of the things that I'm actually pretty proud of is we're doing the off-leash areas in town. We had a neighborhood that came and tell us that we got it wrong. So we changed it. And I don't want to give the impression that I'm necessarily disagreeing with some of the things that Bernie's saying, but there's a lot of we speak or they speak happening, and the city is made out of individuals. The employees are individuals, the council is individuals, and everybody has a different opinion. So collaboration isn't just it's a pure necessity. It has to happen. We have to be able to communicate accurately with each other. We have to be able to hear opinions that are different than ours and be able to assimilate that information into the decisions that we make. So that is what I prefer to do all the time.
Okay, you are listening to KPTZ. I'm Charlie Bermant here with City Council candidates Bernie Arthur and Amy Howard. I apologize for not giving you an ID sooner, but I get kind of wrapped up in these discussions. And, you know, if you listen to these discussions, you forget to moderate them. So there you go. Had a little parlor game here. Asked you to ask each other one short question. Bernie, why don't you ask Amy a question?
Amy, I don't know you, and I have nothing personally objectionable about you. I believe that you do the best job that you can, and that you depend on people to help you, and I think it's a great that you spent 4 years of your life trying to take care of this city, and people need to do that, and especially younger people, because if you look at the last few elections, everybody's running unopposed, and there's 9,000 people in this town. You would think that everybody would have an opposition or something, but you succeeded, and you worked hard at it, and I admire you for that.
Okay, I didn't really hear a question there, but maybe you didn't mean to ask one, or Amy, do you want to ask Bernie a question?
Well, the question that I had for Bernie, because this is actually the first time that I've been in the room with him, he answered at the beginning of the interview, which was, why me? And I suppose, you know, it's not a problem to be running with an opponent, especially one who is going to be respectful, and we're going to have a fair race. I appreciate that. I was confused about why Owen gets to, quote-unquote, walk on to his seat without anybody questioning his stances on things. So I did have that question answered at the beginning of the interview, and other than that, I think I'm pretty okay.
Okay, so yeah, Owen gets to walk on. Also, Ariel Spicer pretty much walked on. Would she be a better council person had she been opposed?
Well, I've never run unopposed, so I'm not I'm not sure how the experience differs if you have no opponent. So I can't speak directly to that.
And I don't think that that's right, that they run unopposed. I think it's an insult to the general public that only one person is willing to do the job of the city council. And that's part of your responsibility as a citizen to be involved and try to make things better for everyone.
And so, Bernie, do you expect to win?
I don't feel any concern in my heart that if I win or lose. If I win, I will try to make changes. If I lose, I will still try to encourage the city council to do a good thing. And I don't take things personally. I don't have a self-confidence problem. But I'm not going to spend a lot of money running for office. I'm not going to put any, have a campaign group. I'm not going to do any, I don't believe in that either. So Amy isn't going to have to get yard signs and stuff unless she wants to. But I'm not going to do it. See, and so.
I hate yard signs.
And if you, so how will I feel? Won't make any difference to me.
So how does the voter make their decision here, Amy?
Well, I suppose what it really comes down to is whether or not you think I'm doing a good job, or whether or not the things that Bernie has said speak to the changes you feel like need to be made in council. I do feel like I am also there to make changes. So it's a weird choice to vote for an incumbent who wants to change things. So I'm not entirely sure.
Are the voters suspicious or disliking of incumbents, Bernie?
I think everyone should look in the mirror and decide who's responsible. They should stop pointing their finger at different things, and they should look in the mirror and see if they're responsible. And if they want to vote for Amy or me or somebody else on any ballot, it should be a decision that they make based on what's the best for them. And I feel sorry for the way people have grown to accept other people's decisions to make their decision. I make my own decisions, and I've made lots of mistakes in my life, and I'll make more. But the point is that if you don't make a mistake, you don't learn anything.
Okay, that will have to be the last word. I'm Charlie Burmant here with District 6 City Councilor Port Townsend Amy Howard and her challenger Bernie Arthur. If I can just slip into editorial mode for a minute, there are a lot of people who complain about our government, and the rejoinder is always, if you don't like things, why don't you run yourself? Well, Bernie, you just went and did it. So I guess that you deserve our admiration. Thank you both for coming. Remember, everybody vote. Where are we going to hear you guys actually debate? Have there been any scheduled?
Oh, the date is escaping me right now, but we will be having both a League of Women Voters forum, and we will be in front of the Rotary Club, the Noon Rotary Club. But both of those days are not in my head right now.
Jermaine does a computer, and she tells me every once in a while that the League of Women Voters want to talk to you, or the Rotary, or whatever. I don't. I just do what I'm told, go to whatever it is, and.
Well, you should be a wonderful city councilor then.
Okay. That would be a different story.
Okay. Well, this is Charlie Berman signing off. Thank you for listening.